this is a fill in the blank, okay? Now, I just want to remind you, it is 20 till noon, okay? So, it's a little later today, but I'm thankful we're in a church that's doing something, right? So we have announcements and we have special things going on and things to tell you about and prayer to offer to the Lord. So we're a little bit later today, but I'll let you out, I promise, by 3 o'clock. But I want you to answer this question, all right? Dogs chase. Okay. What else do they chase? Cars, and they chase their tails sometimes. They didn't have that one down. They chase their tails sometimes. They also chase those little things with a little white tail. Rabbits. So dogs chase rabbits, cats, cars, or tails. You probably fill in the blank here a little bit. Cats chase mice and birds. That's the two that I come up with in particular. Now, are you ready for this one? This is a little bit more challenging. You ready? Sylvester chases Tweety Bird. Man, this is a smart bunch. Okay. Wile E. Coyote chases the Roadrunner. You know, when you think of these different animals or characters, it's in their makeup, it's in their nature to chase these different things, right? I found out that there actually is a fancy name for it. It's called pursuit predation. Isn't that impressive? Did I impress you already? Just go home today and say, my preacher really impressed me. He come up with pursuit predation, which means a predator pursues something, okay? You know, we as humans, and because of our sin nature, which will not be completely eradicated until we get to heaven, because of our sin nature, guess what? Many of us chase after or seek things that we ought not be seeking after. I jotted down a few things that we sometimes seek after. Now, not necessarily, in each one of these, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it should not be the primary thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we seek after recognition. Recognition. You know, kids want recognition, right? They want recognition. They want good grades and mom and dad to pat them on the back. And they want to win the event or they want to be a good athlete. You know, they want to pat on. But sometimes we don't lose that as adults either. We still want recognition. We want people to recognize. Maybe at the work site, I want to be recognized for my efforts. I want to be recognized for my intelligence. Sometimes we seek after human accomplishments or success. We seek after that. Sometimes we seek after material gain. Sometimes we seek after acceptance. Sometimes we seek after love. And I could go on. And again, not all of these are necessarily bad, but can I say they are pretty natural. But compared to what we should be seeking after, believe me, these pale in comparison to what we should be seeking. You see, on the natural level, we seek things like this. And I guarantee you, you could probably ask yourself this question, what am I seeking in life? And there's something that you're seeking more than anything else. Today we're going to examine that and look at what we should be seeking after. And in order to seek the things that we should be seeking after, you know, it's natural to seek after many of these things, but it's supernatural to seek after what we should be seeking after. Does that make sense to you? We should be able, and we should strive, we should seek after to know the Lord better, to be more like our Savior, and to serve Him better. Today, we're going to be talking about both morning and night. We'll probably cover about half of it this morning and half tonight, good Lord willing. Seeking after Jesus. Seeking after Jesus. Now, would someone like to shout out the date? October 15th. You might think that this was being preached somewhere around December 20th. But you know what? We're going through the book of Matthew, okay? Verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And I thought it would be a shame just to jump over the wise guys here in Matthew chapter 2. So we're going to be talking about seeking after Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 12. Now, this might be something that you hear at Christmas time or shortly thereafter Christmas, but today you're going to hear it October 15th, all right? The question I have for you, are you seeking after Jesus more than anything else in life? Are you seeking after Jesus more than anything else in life? And if you have a big question mark in your mind, just think about it for a moment. Write down the hours of your day and how much of the hours of your day is spent seeking after Jesus, or how much of your day is spent seeking after something else. And you say, preacher, we got to work. Now, I understand that. God understands that. Work is a good thing, right? But if you're way out of balance with Jesus, you may not be seeking Jesus the way you should. Are you seeking after Jesus more than anything else in life? If no, listen up. The message is for you. If you're not sure, listen up to this message, and I believe God will make it clear to you before it's all said and done. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Y'all got awful quiet. Remember the amen? Okay, all right. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they had saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. It's a wonderful story. It's a familiar story. You've heard it many times, but if we're not careful, we'll let the familiarity rob us of the message God has for us, okay? We're talking about seeking after Jesus. Point number one today, seeking after Jesus is a long journey. Seeking after Jesus is a long journey. If you notice here, it says in verse 1, that there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, this happens sometimes. I hate to break up your nativity, all right? But this happened sometime later, after Jesus was born. You know, most nativities have the wise guys there, the wise men, the shepherds, and all of that. But this happened later, okay? We're not exactly sure where they came from in the east. Some would say probably north of Babylon, but they came to find this Jesus. Obviously what happened, the star appeared in the sky when Jesus was born. And these wise guys from somewhere perhaps north of Babylon saw this star. Now, being the magi that they were, wise men, they knew the stars, okay? And they studied the stars. And perhaps they had a copy of an Old Testament prophecy. Perhaps. Or maybe God just showed them, or maybe they just said, wow, look at that star. We're going to go find out what's going on under that star, because this must be a sign. We really don't know. But let me tell you, it happened later. Probably, let's just say about a couple years later after the birth. You say, how do you know it? Did you notice how many times we said young child, young child, young child? That's a total different word than infant that's used like in Luke chapter 2, verse 12. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. If you notice when they come in verse 11 to Mary and the child Jesus, it says when they were come into the house. They're no longer in the stable. They're in the house. A different word is used for a young child. So this happened later. If you look at verse 16, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So they told Herod, it happened sometime, let's say, for the sake of argument, 2 years ago, we saw this star. So he sends and kills all the babies in Bethlehem, thinking he'll get Jesus. So again, I hate to break up your nativity. I don't lose a whole lot of sleep over it either way. But I'm telling you, biblically, the way it was, the wise men came later, okay? The wise men came later. They were likely Gentiles of high position. Again, we don't even know how many. Now, we've got in our brain, we always have three. And you say, why three? Well, there was three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we just assume we had one with one with the other, and one with the other. But we don't know. There could have been 10 of them for all we know. It was just more. It was just plural, okay? We don't know how many. The star appeared at the birth of Jesus. They traveled a very long distance. Would y'all agree with that? It was a long journey. We don't know exactly how long, but they didn't exactly hop in their car and get there in a few hours. Now, from North Carolina, now Siri and maps tell us we can get there in 6.5 hours to see the boys. My wife will say, quite frankly, Siri is a liar. Because you cannot make it in 6.5 hours. No one, I don't believe, can make it and go the speed limit and make it to where that is. It takes us more like around 8. We did make it back in about 7.5, but maybe a little less stopping. But guess what? We think that's a long trip. I remember we lived in Connecticut for a couple years. To get to southern West Virginia, where I'm from, it took us between 12 and 13 hours to get to southern West Virginia. And we'd flex in, work early and leave early and drive till really, really late. We think that's a long journey. In a car! A 1987 Buick Regal. what about these folks on camels? Traveling over a long distance? It was a long trip. Remember, seeking after Jesus is a long journey. It was for them. And can I tell you today, in point of application, do you realize that seeking after Jesus is a long journey in our life? You remember? Think about that for a moment. Now listen. Listen, when you get saved, all right, even for the lost before they're saved, someone would say it's a long journey. You know, I've heard about it, but I kind of turned my back on it. I maybe even brought up in church, and then I've turned my back on it. I never really accepted it. And then maybe someone witnesses to them, and they don't come, but then someone invites them to something again, and they don't come, and then you keep inviting, and they eventually come, and they truly trust Jesus as their Savior. For them, you'd say it's been a long journey. Some people get saved. It's amazing, the statistics. I do not have the exact statistics before me, but it seems like it's like in the 80-some percent of folks that get saved before they're like 18. So that tells us we got a valuable ministry to those kids and to teenagers, right? To try to pour all Jesus we can into them so they'll trust Jesus and say, you know, that's my Savior. But for some folks, they don't accept Jesus till much later. And for them, it's a long journey, let's say. But what about for Christians today? Is seeking after Jesus a long journey? You know, from the point I got saved when I was 11 years old at Hopewell Baptist Church, I come down the aisle, they were singing Just As I Am, and from that point that I trusted Jesus as my Savior, guess what? From that point, I'm supposed to say, I'm not seeking after wealth. I'm not seeking after fame. I'm not seeking after recognition. I'm seeking after Jesus. It's a lifelong journey, really. And it's not, I mean, AJ's a runner, right? A marathon runner. I can tell you that, was it last weekend, he finished, was it third overall or fourth? Fourth overall, but first in his class over there, started at Cass Scenic Railroad and ran, what, 26.2 miles? 26.2 miles. But AJ, wouldn't it be kind of odd if you're there at Cass Scenic Railroad and they blow the whistle, from what I understand, to start you? Was that the way that's the way I understood it was going to happen? So they blow the whistle at one of those trains, and then everybody goes, and AJ's going, just like this. You know, just he's running in place. And he just keeps on going this like this, you know. Whew, I won't do that too much. I might lose some weight. I'm trying. But wouldn't that be a little bit odd? I mean, the other runners and the people that were watching was like, okay, everybody took off, and this guy here. Strange. He's still running in one spot. You see, the Christian life was never meant to be strange and running in one spot. When you truly trust Jesus, you ought to tear out of the gate. And you ought to say, here I am. And this like 26.2 miles, how many ever years you got, for every year you should be seeking after the Lord. And some are thinking today, well, you know, I got saved and I served the Lord really hard for a little while, and then I kind of went off course a while. And then, well, that's the past, okay? Ask God to forgive you for getting out of the race for a while. Now, if you truly trusted Jesus when you were young, you cannot lose your salvation if you truly meant it from your heart. We believe as a church and as a pastor that once you're truly saved, you are saved for eternity, all right? God saved you, so how could you unsave you, right? You said, forgive me my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. Be my Savior. And you're saved and you're sealed. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So if you're truly saved, you're saved. But if you were saved, and then you ran a little bit, and then you kind of got off course a little bit, did your own thing and sought after all the wrong things, ask God to forgive you and say, Lord, I want to get back in the race. I want to seek after Jesus. No time like the present. We may have some folks here today said, I'm still off course. That's all right. You come to the right place. You see, the Christian life is a vibrant Christian life. The Christian life is a mobile Christian life. The Christian life is an active Christian life. The Christian life is supposed to be moving forward. And as we run, we're running closer and closer to the Lord. We're seeking after the Lord. You see, AJ finished fourth, first in his class. Congratulations, because he ran forward. And I bet you got a medal or a trophy, didn't you? You see, in the Christian life, once you get saved, you're supposed to run after the Lord and not run in place. And again, if you went off course, say, God, forgive me, get me back on course. I want to seek after you. But guess what? At the end of our race, there's awards day. There is. Guess what? It even goes beyond heaven. We're given rewards. We're given crowns for serving the Lord. And that means a whole lot more than any other thing that we may accumulate in this world, right? So guess what? It's a long journey. It was a long journey for the wise men. And it's a long journey for the Christian. And let me tell you what happens, and I know we have a lot of older folks here, and I think I'm almost done. We have a lot of older folks here today, and that's not a criticism. Praise the Lord. But you know what happens? I've also found this out. Some people, when they get saved, they just run in place and never move forward. Some people run for a while, then they get way off course. But you know what happens to some of the seniors sometimes? They run when they got energy and they're young and they're running and they're doing all that. But they get a little bit of age on them and they start coming up with excuses. I don't mean to be mean, but I'm just saying, well, I don't know. I'm really tired. I don't doubt the tired. I don't doubt the fatigue. I don't doubt the getting older. I don't doubt the age pains. I don't doubt the aches and pains you have. I don't doubt any of that. I get some of that myself, and I'm younger than some of you, a lot of you. But guess what? Guess what? That doesn't mean we quit seeking after Jesus. It doesn't mean we get... I've heard so many times, not here, just here, but other places, well, I used to do this and I used to do that. I'm not talking about people in nursing homes that can't. I'm talking about people that can still come to church. I used to be faithful. I used to come all the time and I used to. What happened to you? If you still got the energy and the strength, keep on running. Keep on seeking. Keep on looking to Jesus. Now, we have some folks we can look up to in this church. I mean, I look at Betty Huffman. Betty, you're a blessing to me. I mean, she is as faithful as the day is long, and if she's not here on Sunday morning, guess what? There's something wrong with Betty. You know, maybe she's on a trip. Maybe like a couple weeks ago, her battery wouldn't start her car. And I mean, something's going on. And Betty, I'm not going to tell them how old you are, but she's older than 39, okay? What a blessing. You see, she's not making excuses that she can't be Sunday school. She's still Sunday school secretary. How many years have you done that, Betty? How many years have you done that? 24 or 25 years. Wow. Let me tell you, in the Christian life, seeking after Jesus is a long journey. And we don't quit taking that journey or quit seeking after Jesus until we breathe our last. And perhaps our role or responsibility might change a bit, but guess what? We still need to seek after Jesus. We all know some people that can't come to church anymore. They're physically not able. They may be in a facility here or there. They may be under the care. They may be bedridden under the care of someone else. And they can't come. We understand that. But they can still seek after Jesus. As long as they got their mind, they can still read Scripture. They can still pray for all the rest of us, right? Seeking after Jesus is a lifelong pursuit. Let me ask you, where are you today in your seeking after Jesus? We seek after a lot of things. I'm telling you, from the very beginning, you know, probably it popped in your brain, what am I seeking more than anything else? And many times, unfortunately, even for Christians, it's not Jesus. We're seeking after all the wrong things. And you know, when we stand before Jesus at the award ceremony day, so to speak, the judgment seat of Christ, you know, I get up there and say, you know what? You know what, God? I could throw a fastball 106 miles an hour. And God's going to say, okay. Guess who gave you the ability to throw that fastball? And that's just one little area. Or we get up there and say, you know what, God? I got me a 25-point buck. That's pretty amazing. But God's not going to be fazed. He said, well, who allowed you, who brought that big buck your way so you could shoot that thing? You see, what's going to count when we stand before Jesus, have we sought after the Lord? And it seems to me, I'm just going to say it, it seems to me that we have a lot of Christians, even in our church, you're half asleep for Jesus. I mean, what is it going to take to get you to wake up and say, you know what, I have to seek after Jesus? Just like for the wise guys, the wise men, it was a long journey. Your journey, if you know Jesus, it's not time to make excuses. It's not time to say, oh, I used to, but. It's not time to say, I'm too old, I don't need it. It's not time. It's time to seek after Jesus. So where are you? Where are you as an individual? You know, I learned a long time ago, I cannot make a decision for you. And I cannot make you make a decision. It's got to be God on the inside. It's got to be the Holy Spirit going, hey, trying to get your attention down here. I'm talking to you. Are you seeking after Jesus more than anything else? You may be here today, honestly, and you say, you know what? I've never been saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. Could be you. You know what? You know, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is seeking after your soul. He wants you to be saved. That's why he came. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to Jesus, right? So if you're here today and say, you know what, I don't know if I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved, and I know I'm not going to heaven, I'm not 100% sure. Why, wherever you're at, seek after Jesus in salvation right now. Say, Lord, I want salvation. I want to be saved. But it's got to come from the heart. And you got to believe Jesus was God's Son who died on the cross for you. And you got to recognize you're a sinner before God and ask Him to forgive you of your sins. And you got to ask Him to be your Savior. Confess Him as your Savior in prayer to God from your heart at a point in time. And that point in time can be right during our invitation time here in just a moment. Seek after Jesus if you're lost. You'll not find satisfaction. You'll not find peace. You'll not find happiness. You'll not find purpose in any other place. Now, you may find a little pleasure along the way, but the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. You may have a little bit of pleasure, but it's going to fade. And then what? The only place to find what you're looking for is by seeking after Jesus and being saved today. And we might have Christians here today. You'd say, right now, I'm a little bit off course. You know, I ran a little bit. You know, life is a marathon. There's a lot of analogies there. Life is a marathon. The Christian life is a marathon. And you've gotten off course, and you're out in the woods somewhere lost. Not lost in salvation, but a little bit off course. How's that? And you're saying, what do I need to do? I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. In a moment when we sing, you need to come to the altar. You don't need to talk to the preacher, but you need to talk to God. And you need to come up here and say, God, I'm off course. I know you as Savior. I've trusted Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven, but I'm off course. I got a lot of things I'm seeking after more than you. And you need to be numero uno, you know, number one. So when we sing a little bit or hear the music play or whatever, you come to the altar and say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm not seeking after you, number one. Help me to seek after you, number one. How is it today? Some of you might say, well, preacher, I'm really not sure I'm off course. You know, I'm faithful. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm doing really what I should do. But, you know, be honest with you, sometimes I get distracted and seek after things I shouldn't. Well, I think it'd be a good idea to talk to God about that, don't you? And say, God, and maybe name names and say, God, I'm seeking after and fill in the blank instead of you more. Help me to put you first and seek after you. Lord, I'm saved. I feel I'm in fellowship with you, but I sometimes get a little distracted. Just help me to stay focused on seeking after Jesus. I think the invitation is pretty clear. If you're here and lost today, come to Jesus. Seek after Jesus in salvation. Be saved. And if that's you, as we sing or play the piano, you come down and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. And I'll make sure that before you leave this place, you'll at least understand what salvation is. And if you want to be saved, you can be saved before you leave this building. And you can say, you know what? I know I'm going to heaven. Off course, Christian, come to the altar. come to the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm off course. I'm not seeking after you the way that I should. Or you say, Lord, I'm serving you, but sometimes I'm distracted. Come to the altar. Say, God, help me with those distractions. Help me. The devil will supply you a distraction at every turn. Trust me, he will. And the world complements that too and supplements that and says, oh, you want this and you want this and you want this and you want this. Maybe you just need to refocus as a Christian and say, you know what, Lord? I'm serving you. I feel like I'm in fellowship, but I can do better. I need to focus. Help me to stay focused. How is God speaking to your heart? Let's have a word of prayer. Amy, if you'd come to the piano, please, and start playing the piano. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you this. Is God speaking to your heart today? You know, I wish that God would send firebolts down sometimes whenever we hear a message and like, Lord, is that me? Boom! Yeah, that's me. I need to go forward because he just sent out a fireball. But you know what you'll hear instead of that? You'll hear the still small voice of God. If you're a saved individual, you'll hear the Holy Spirit say, do this, do this, do this, respond. If you're lost, that Holy Spirit will say, you need to be saved, you need to be saved. As Amy plays the piano right now, has God spoken to your heart during the message? Nobody's looking around. Has God spoken to your heart today about seeking the Lord first? Number one.